Okay, good evening. Welcome to part 7 of Hilchos Bishul. Last week we talked about primarily making tea. We saw that the Mishnah Brura seems not to go for the idea of a kli shlishi because the Mishnah Brura is concerned that tea leaves are sensitive, are delicate, and therefore they might be able to be cooked even in a kli sheni. So therefore, the Mishnah Brura, even in a kli shlishi actually, therefore the Mishnah Brura told us last week that you have to make some kind of tea essence, or the first suggestion that he had was to pour hot water over tea leaves, and then those tea leaves are cooked before Shabbos, and if they're dry, you can now put them in hot water again because they're already pre-cooked. His second suggestion was to make tea essence, which many people are familiar with, and we saw that Rav Moshe Feinstein says that you don't have to make tea essence because Rav Moshe Feinstein is of the opinion that once something makes its way all the way to a kli shlishi, it is not going to be mevashel. Even things that are delicate, like tea leaves and other things that are delicate, cannot be mevashel in a kli shlishi. Just parenthetically, I happened to have been speaking to Rabbi Shechter this afternoon, and he told me that he is of the opinion that is more makel than I think everybody of the opinions that we've seen. Rabbi Shechter feels that you could put a tea bag actually into a hot kli shlishi. No one else that I've seen holds like that. I don't think that's the minhag of the world in general. But the reason for that is because Rabbi Shechter feels that tea is only considered a spice, a tavlin, and spices are allowed to be put in kli sheni. Because what's the whole idea here? We're worried, why don't we put things into a kli sheni? So I mentioned before, last week, that we worry that delicate foods do get cooked in a kli sheni. But Rav Shechter feels that the main reason why you can't put things into a kli sheni is not because we're worried about delicate foods, but we're worried that things look like you're cooking it. But if you put spices into a food, we're not worried that you're going to, no one cooks spices. Like, what are you eating for supper? Boiled paprika. You don't eat spices. You eat food and you flavor with spices. So if you put a spice in a kli sheni, let me rephrase that. The whole concern, according to Rav Shechter, with a kli sheni is nirek mevashel, that it appears as though you're cooking. But if you're putting a spice into it, that does not appear as though you're cooking, because you don't cook spices. You cook food and you flavor it with spices. And because of that, Rav Shechter feels that tea is something similar to a spice. It's just you're not drinking tea. You're drinking water with tea flavor. Right? If you look at all these beverages, it doesn't say nothing is juice anymore. Everything is orange juice flavored something, or grapefruit juice flavored something. And therefore, Shechter holds that when you have a kli sheni, we're not worried about cooking, about the nirek mevashel on spices, and therefore it's tea, which he understands is a spice, because you don't actually eat the tea bag, you just eat the water that was flavored by the tea, therefore it's only a spice. And spices do not have this concern of nirek mevashel, it looks like you're cooking, because we don't cook spices, we cook food and flavor it with spices. So therefore, Shechter is of the opinion that a kli sheni, again, he holds, he's not worried that it's going to cause bishul because it's delicate food stuff. He's only concerned of nirek mevashel, and nirek mevashel is not applicable by spices. Therefore, Shechter is of the opinion, and he said that the Rav said that about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the founder of the Brisker dynasty, was one grandfather. I think Rav says the other grandfather. Apparently, Rav Soloveitchik once said in Shir, my father was a religious man, and he put his tea bag into a kli sheni. So I just heard that from Shechter about an hour and a half ago, and I guess he heard it a few decades ago. That's the Masorah from the Rav. But again, that's not the Minigolam. The Minigolam is either to be maker like the Igros Moshe, to put it into a kli shlishi, or like the Mishnah Brura said, to use tea essence. That was all last week. This week, we're finished with kli rishon, we're finished with pouring iroi from kli rishon, we're finished with kli sheni, we're finished with kli shlishi, we're up to the next topic. New topic now. And here we're going to have to talk a lot about hot potatoes and about cholent. It's fascinating that cholent has so many areas of halacha. There's every shiur that we've given so far, there's some application to cholent. And we could probably go that way for the rest of the series. The next halacha that we're going to discuss is important to understand its parameters. It's not a bona fide halacha, it's a chumrah. There's an opinion, let me rephrase that. We know the halacha is that if you have something in a kli rishon, we're worried that that's going to cook. A kli sheni, we're worried that that might cook. After that, we're not really worried in general. Even a kli sheni doesn't really cook, except things that are very delicate, that are what we call kalei habishal, things that are easily cooked. There's one exception to that rule. Well, actually, the real way we paskin, there are no exceptions to that rule. Comes a person by the name of the Maharshal. Maharshal was one of the great poskim who lived in the time of the Ramah, around the 1500s. And he was a contemporary of, you know, a few years, meaning a handful, 5, 10, 20 years after the Shulchan Aruch, contemporary of the Ramah. And he was also an Ashkenazi. And he has some very significant opinions all over Shulchan Aruch. One of them is the following. He felt that which we say, that a kli sheni doesn't cook, doesn't have the ability to cook, which means I'm allowed to put certain things into a kli sheni, that does not apply, that kula of kli sheni does not apply to a davar gush. What's a davar gush? You've heard of gush etzion in Eretz Yisrael, the etzion block. A gush is a block, a thing that's mushed together, something that's a solid. A davar gush, a solid, says the Maharshal, we are always worried that that's going to cook. So now picture in your mind you have a hot potato, or baked potato, and it was baked in a pan, that's the kli rishon. You take it out of the pan, you put it onto a serving plate, that's the kli sheni. You take it off the serving plate, you put it onto your plate, that's the kli shlishi. You decide that you don't like sweet potatoes, you put it onto the guy next to you, on your right, because they say they do like sweet potatoes, that's the kli ravi. Says the Maharshal, this hot potato is still hot, right? We know that potatoes could be very hot, and they retain their heat. They retain their heat more than liquids. And why do they retain their heat more than liquids? And the next point is going to be very significant. Because why do liquids lose their heat when you put it into a kli sheni? What happens to a liquid? Whenever you pour it from one place to another, there's heat loss in the transfer by the pouring. What else happens if you pour something into a kli sheni? Yeah, there's heat that's absorbed into the walls of the pot. Yeah, whenever it touches the walls, then there's a loss of heat, because heat always transfers from a high energy state to a lower energy state. And we learned Tosas 2 weeks ago says that a kli sheni, dofnos mekareros, the walls cool things down. But where are the walls of a sweet potato? When you put a sweet potato from one pot to another pot to another pot to another pot, are the walls of the pot or the next bowl cooling off the wall of the sweet potato? No, it's not touching the walls. And therefore, the whole leniency that we have, says the Maharshal, the whole leniency that we have of pouring things into a later and a later kli, a kli sheni and a kli shlishi, is that there's heat that's lost because it's touching the walls, because it's spreading out and spreading over the walls and the floor. But if you have a hot potato doesn't touch any walls, and therefore it doesn't lose heat to the walls, and therefore this hot potato is going to be aser to put anything on it, certainly where it was baked, even in the serving plate, and on your plate, and on the guy's next to you's plate, and as many places as you'll put it in, it still retains its heat. But let's just think for a minute. What should that mean? And we'll talk about what it really means. That should mean that you can never put margarine, you can never put certainly pepper. Pepper is raw. You shake pepper onto your hot potato, that should be bishul, according to this opinion, even if it's in a kli shlishi. You certainly would never be able to pour gravy over a hot solid, because, again, the hot solid is retaining its heat, it's not losing its heat, even if it's a kli shlishi. You're going to put a cold gravy, let's say, a cold gravy on, it's going to be boiled by touching that hot potato. What other applications could we think of? Butter. You can't put margarine, let's say, margarine on a potato. What do people like putting on sweet potatoes? People put anything on sweet potatoes? Ketchup, theoretically, we'll talk about that. Yeah, ketchup on potatoes, that's very important. And it's not just potatoes, it's any solid food item, a piece of chicken. Do you like sprinkling? Well, salt is already pre-cooked, so let's not talk about salt. What's not pre-cooked? Do you like putting pepper, paprika, oregano, onion, garlic powder on your chicken? Well, you can't put any of those, according to this, on your piece of chicken. Why? Because that piece of chicken, even though it was, again, cooked in its pot, placed in a serving dish, now put on your plate, maybe even put on, you know, another plate after that, doesn't matter. It retains all of its heat. And it's still going to be cooking. You're never going to be able to flavor anything that's solid according to this. We'll get to some exceptions, but yes. We said that spices do not cook in a kli sheni. But here we're saying that the davar gush does not get the leniencies of a kli sheni. Spices, right, spices, we're not worried about that they'll look like cooking, but here we're actually putting it into something like a kli rishon. And here the mashal is saying that that davar gush, that solid, has the severity of being as though it's the kli rishon itself. Wherever you put it, it always has the potential to cook. Question? No? So let's just think how many things this applies to. This applies to hot potatoes in the chalent. If it applies to a chunk of meat in the chalent, it applies to a piece of chicken. Does anyone like putting pepper on potato kugel, like me? That should be a problem. All kugels are solids. They don't take the shape of their container, and therefore they all retain their heat. They don't lose the heat to the transfer to the walls. So let's talk about this concept called davar gush. That's the name of this topic, davar gush. We're going to talk about it for about 15 minutes, and then we'll finish with this topic. So the first thing that we have to realize is Rama himself does not hold from this whole concept. Rama says that once something is taken out of the pot that it was cooked in, it's ready in a kli sheni, it has a status of a kli sheni. Once it's in a kli shlishi, it's status of a kli shlishi. I don't care if it's a solid, if it's a liquid, if it has walls, if it takes the shape of its container, which is what they taught us in high school chemistry as the definition of a liquid. The Rama says, as long as you're in a kli sheni, it's a kli sheni. As long as you're in a kli shlishi, it's a kli shlishi. However, the Marshal argues on him and says this chumrah that we're suggesting, that we're always going to have to be machmir, that a solid will maintain its heat. Now, if it's a chumrah, do we follow it or do we not follow it? So, we do follow it. We do follow it as a chumrah, but we realize that it's a chumrah. And what happens when you have a halacha that's a chumrah? So if I have this chumrah, and I have some other aspect in halacha that's also going to be a chumrah, and they're going to marry each other to be in one scenario, will I aser that scenario? Will I make that scenario prohibited if it's based on joining of one chumrah with another chumrah? Let's see some examples where we won't apply that chumrah. But before we do, let's just build up for a few more applications that are very important of where this chumrah would bring us. You have your plate on Shabbos at lunch, and you have coleslaw. Is coleslaw cooked? The cabbage of coleslaw, is the cabbage cooked? So I have raw cabbage on my plate. Even with a little sauce, that sauce is also not cooked. If it's lemon juice was once cooked. Let's assume I have a liquid with it or the coleslaw. So I take my chalent. I have a hot potato in the chalent. I put it on my plate. I take some potato kugel. I put it on my plate. What happens if that potato kugel touches the edge of my coleslaw? Well, according to the Ramah, this is a kli, my plate is a kli sheni, kli shlishi. So I don't have to be worried about cooking. But according to this Maharshal, that we are being machmir for, that halacha does recognize as warranting our attention, it's going to cook the coleslaw. That means I have to look at my plate before I take that potato kugel, and very carefully place it on that corner of the plate where the coleslaw isn't. What happens if the coleslaw, if I had a salad there before and there's some residue from the liquid of the salad? Right? The liquid, you had tomatoes and cucumbers and whatever else, onions chopped up, there's a little liquid on the bottom. That liquid is cold, was never cooked. And if I put a hot potato from the chalent on there, if I put my potato kugel touching that liquid, I'm cooking liquid on Shabbos. According to Mashal, that's going to be aser. Let's say I have a plate that my son is very makpid about having a clean plate. Like, there's ketchup on the plate, and he's eating something that's not eaten with ketchup. He has to wash off the plate, clean plate, then he could put whatever else he wants, because he likes having a clean plate, even in the middle of the meal. So let's say we wash his plate, not just because it's not like a fish meat thing, it's just a something else thing. So we wash off his plate. He has a clean plate that's a little bit moist. We had chalent in the pot, in the crock pot. We poured it into a big serving bowl. I want to now ladle it from there onto his plate. So normally, it's already in a klisheni, it's an iri from a klisheni, I shouldn't have to worry about cooking anything. But here, according to this marashal, I have to be concerned that hot potato from the chalent that I'm putting onto this wet plate, the hot potato is going to cook that water on his plate. Is that a concern? Is it not a concern? It should be a concern. Why should it not be a concern? Yeah.
Doesn't it matter also if this is like you're using hot water from the hot pot that can't have any water in it?
That is correct. But there is more of a concern. If you're taking liquid directly from a kettle or from an urn, we're much more worried because that's coming straight from a kli rishon. We know a kli rishon or pouring from
so
a kli rishon will cook.
Say you didn't transfer the cholent from one pot.
That would definitely be us without a question. There's nothing to discuss. If you're pouring straight from the crock pot onto your plate, a ladle, we're going to talk about at the end of today, what the status of a ladle is. We'll see what the ladle is. This specific case, we'll talk about in about half an hour. So, how do we pass in all these scenarios? So, it is advisable not to put your hot kugel on a wet plate. It is advisable Here we get into the following question. Let me not say it is advisable. Let's talk about putting my hot potato kugel next to, and I'm not talking about chalent, and we'll see why in a few minutes. Let's talk about my hot potato kugel, or a hot potato, or a hot sweet potato, putting it next to my coleslaw. Here, the opinion of Rebbe Yashiv, Zatzar, Rav Vosner from Bnei Brak, Dain Fisher is, Zatzar was the Av Bezin of the Edah Haredes. He passed away a few years ago. He was known for a very wonderful kula. He basically felt that women should never fast, ever. Almost ever. And I think I mentioned this somewhere, I don't remember where I mentioned it, if it was here or at a different shiur that I gave recently, that before fast days, before Yom Kippur, Dain Fisher's, the Badats, where Dain Fisher paskened his shilas, he had his answer, his hours for paskening shilas, there were huge lines of women out the door, specifically before fast days, because everybody tried to go to him to get themselves a hetter not to fast on this day and that day. And that was Dain Fisher. Okay, he was an Adam Gadol, but that was one unique kula that everybody in Eretz Yisrael knew about, and therefore when people wanted a kula in that area, women would go to him to get that kula. Okay, so he's among the people who are machmir, and therefore he's makel for fasting, but he was machmir not to put potato kugel or a hot sweet potato next to your coleslaw. But Shlomo Zalman has a number of arguments why he proves that you shouldn't have to be worried about putting your hot potato next to your coleslaw. Because what's happening? Are you cooking? What's that? You're cooking your coleslaw? Do we all want cooked cabbage in our coleslaw? Is this something we're interested in? Are you happy about that? No. Cooking the coleslaw, if anything, it's less fresh. You want, right? You always try to keep your leafy vegetables in the fridge as long as you can, because you want them to be as fresh, you want them to be wilted and soggy. So it's not improving the salad, it's being mekalkel. Mekalkel, ruining something, is very significant in Hilchos Shabbos. Because Hilchos Shabbos, more than anywhere else, has a concept of meleches machsheves. There's a concept of, it's not just doing an action, but it's doing an action with an intention, with a purpose. That applies more to Shabbos than other areas of halacha. And here, where I want specifically not to have cooked coleslaw, so not just that I don't need my coleslaw cooked, it's that I don't want my coleslaw to be cooked. It's not a positive attitude towards my coleslaw, it's a negative attitude towards my, I don't want my coleslaw cooked. It's ruining my coleslaw. And that's one svara, that we have to be less worried about the potato or the potato kugel cooking the coleslaw, because it's not something that I really want at all. In fact, I dislike it. Also, the fact that you're worried that this is bishul? I'm not cooking something. I messed. Why do you cook things? Mm-hmm. You cook something because it doesn't taste so great. I'm going to cook it so it'll taste better. But what's happening to the bishul that you're worried about here? The potato cooking this coleslaw? That's not cooking. Cooking is to improve a food. Here you're making the food taste worse off. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman, because of these kulas and other svaras, he says you don't have to be worried about putting your potato or potato kugel touching your salad and your coleslaw. Okay. So now that we saw this discussion of where, at least there's a machlokas about this point, but certainly if you have a wet plate, you should avoid putting a hot item on a wet plate, a hot dry food on a wet plate. Let's talk about exceptions to this chumrah of davar gush. Again, because there's a chumrah, that's going to be significant for us for the following, let's say, three categories of exceptions. The most common thing that people like putting on their hot food items is salt. You want to put salt on your potatoes, you want to put salt on your potato kugel, some people like to put salt on their chicken. All these things are hot solids. They're hot. They don't lose their heat to the walls because they're not touching the walls. They're a davar gush. They're a solid. So I shouldn't be able to put anything on it because it's going to cook whatever I put on it. But salt, we learned again and again, salt is cooked in its manufacturing process. And therefore, since it's cooked already, I don't have to be worried about heating it up again. Now let's get a little bit detail-oriented for about 30 seconds. We learned that there's two kinds of things. There's bishul and there's afia. Bishul is boiling, and afia is baking. And we said that even though you're allowed to boil something after it's boiled, but you're not allowed to bake something after it's boiled, and not allowed to boil something after it's baked, I'll remind you what we were talking about. We were talking about putting matzah or putting challah into soup or into challah. And we said that since it was the different kinds of heat, the different kinds of cooking, avoid, if it, even though it was baked already, you don't want to put it into a hot soup. And like we said, in a kli shlishi, you're allowed in a bowl that you ladled into, that's going to be okay. That was a few weeks ago. But what's happening if I put salt? Salt was boiled when you manufactured it in the manufacturing plant, and now you're putting it on to potato kugel. Is that bishul? Is that boiling the salt now on your potato kugel? You're not boiling the salt. You are... Potato kugel is providing dry heat. You're baking the salt. And normally we are concerned with baking something that has been previously boiled. Right? If you have something that is boiled in wet heat, in wet liquid, and now you're going to heat it up with dry heat, that is usually a problem. So here we have, that's a chumrah though. It's machlokas actually. So here what we have something that's a machlokas. You have something that was boiled and now you want to dry heat it. That's machlokas, if that's okay or not. And what is the thing that's heating it in the first place? A solid. Well, that itself is a chumrah. This whole concept of a davar gush, of a solid that is considered to be cooking, is itself a chumrah. So we have a chumrah on saying that itself is a machlokas. What's going to happen? We're just going to not be worried about it. And therefore, salt can be placed on top of all the hot items that we mentioned, because anyway, salt already was cooked, and therefore it's only a machlokas whether or not you could heat it up again. So salt can be placed on top of your potato, your hot potato kugel, your hot potato, your hot sweet potato, if you do like salt on your hot sweet potato. And that's what the Igros Moshe writes in Or HaChaim Chelek Talid, Siman 74. What's the second most common thing that you want to put on your salads? What do people put on their chicken? What do some people like to put on the meat in their challah, or potatoes in their challah, after salt? Ketchup, of course. Of course. I once went to a friend in high school whose mother was very proud of her cooking, and I was told by my friend that don't ask for ketchup because my mother will consider it an insult if you want to put ketchup on her food. So I don't know what to say to her, but I have a relative who is very makpid of eating ketchup with absolutely everything, and he will go to the fanciest of the fancy restaurants, weddings, whatever it might be, and whatever they serve, he will ask for his, you know, they'll have this, you know, $70 steak with their home-baked cured broth and gravy and whatever they do, but he'll ask for his Heinz ketchup no matter what, no matter where. I guess he wasn't raised in that house. But could I put my ketchup on top of my chicken? I mean, everyone puts ketchup on top of chicken, but let's just think. If the chicken is really piping hot, if it's not real yatzalevisbo, we're not worried about cooking anyway. But let's assume we're talking about really hot chicken, piping hot chicken. According to the Maharshal, like whom we are machmir, Again, it was cooked in a Pyrex or a Corningware baking dish. I then put it on a serving plate. I now put it on my plate. So according to the way we paskin make or adin and amma, klishlishi, I don't have to worry about it. But the Mashal says, wait a second, this is a davar glish, this is a solid. This retains its heat. It's not, there's no diffusion of heat into the walls because it's not touching walls. So, can I cook a liquid? Can I put a liquid on something that's the heat of a kli rishon on a solid? I'm not allowed to put liquids on top of a hot solid that's cooking the liquid, right? This Reb Moshe also says is going to be okay. Why? For a similar reason to salt. Because how do you manufacture this this ketchup? If you go to the Heinz plant, you'll see they take tomatoes, they crush them, they mush them, they add a little bit of salt, a little bit of citric acid, a little bit of sodium benzoate, and then what do? They cook it. And therefore, once the liquid is cooked, there's a big machlokas, whether yesh bishel achar bishel, even by liquids. Okay, usually we're machmir, if it's cold, we don't cook it again. You're not going to heat up you're not going to heat up cold liquids, but it's machlokas. We talked about this about 3-4 weeks ago. If you have soup that's cooked and then now cold in the fridge, can I warm it up again? We would never do that. That's machlokas. According to some rishonim, I'm allowed to cook it again because it's pre-cooked. We're machmir because we want to be machmir, but it is a machlokas. So what? Now let's put everything together. Ketchup on top of the on top of my hot chicken or on top of my potato. The ketchup was pre-cooked. According to this, it's a whole machlokas whether I could cook it again. And even now that I am cooking it again, what am I cooking it on? I'm cooking it on a potato in a klishlishi, which itself is a whole is a chumra in its own right. So it's a chumra on something that's a machlokas. So what's going to happen? Once again, it's all going to fall down. We're not going to be worried about it because it's a chumra on something that itself is a machlokas. Is that clear? That combination of if something's only a chumra, and it's a chumra on something that itself is a machlokas, we're just going to be meko. And therefore, once again, Reb Moshe says I could put my ketchup or barbecue sauce, anything that's pre-cooked, on top of even lemon juice. Lemon juice is pre-cooked. Let's see, like lemon juice on your, I think lemon juice is pre-cooked. Yeah, it's pasteurized. Let's see, like honey on top of your chicken. Honey is pre-cooked. All liquids that you buy commercially are almost always pasteurized, unless they say otherwise on the packages. They're almost all pasteurized. And therefore, anything that has been pasteurized, meaning it's been pre-cooked, you can put it on top of your hot solids. Because once it's been pasteurized, according to many, it's allowed to be cooked again anyway. Yeah. Excellent question. When we talk about something that's hot, it doesn't matter how it got hot. As long as it's hot and a solid and it's still yatzaledes po. So according to the Ramah, if it's in the Kli Rishon, I'd be worried. If it's in a Kli Sheni, it has a status of Kli Sheni. If it's in a Kli Shlishi, it has a status of Kli Shlishi. That's the main halacha, the Ramah. But this mashal that we are machmir for the past 10 minutes will tell you, I don't care how many steps removed from the flame it is, since it retains its heat, the walls retain its heat and the heat is not diffused, it's going to cook like a Kli Rishon, even on your plate in the dining room. I don't care where it was heated up, whether it was in a crock pot, or it was on a blech, or it was on a fire, or it was in a soup. Okay? As long as it was a solid. Excellent point. Yeah? Excellent question. I didn't think about that. Let's wait about, are mashed potatoes considered a davar gush? That's a great question. Let's wait about 5 minutes. We'll get to something very close, and then I'll probably say I'm not sure. Yes? Fresh lemon juice is not cooked yet, right? If you squeeze, well, you can't squeeze a lemon on Shabbos. Let's say you squeeze it on Friday. Let's say you have fish, for example. Let's say you have hot salmon. I like to eat my salmon cold. Some people like to eat their salmon hot. Or maybe you like lemon juice on gefilte fish. So you squeeze some lemon juice before. Well, you could squeeze juice into a salad on Shabbos, right? I think you could squeeze juice into a salad on Shabbos. So you want to put lemon juice, which is fresh, straight from the lemon. You halacha l'maisa, we are machmir for this mashal. You cannot put lemon juice that is uncooked on top of your hot salmon. Correct. Once your salmon is not yet tzeledes po anymore, it can't really cook, and you can do whatever you want with it. Let's talk about one further exception where we will be allowed to put stuff on top of my hot potato. Picture the following. You go to someone's house for lunch, and what's the first thing that they give you after Kiddush? Challah. And sometimes you have, I know my wife, when she bakes challah, the challah is not soft like the, you know, the board challah is, but the crust is crusty, is crumbly. Especially because we like to warm it up before we serve it. We warm it up on top of, you know, on top of the challahs, or however we warm it up, on top of something else. And when you do warm, or Friday night we warm it on the block itself. So when you warm something up, the bottom of the, you know, the challah gets harder and brittle and crusty, hard meaning hard crusty. So when you cut it, what happens? You have lots of crumbs. So what do I have on my plate? From the beginning of the meal, I have crumbs on my plate. What comes out after that? Soup, but that's in a bowl. Okay? Soup goes back to the kitchen, bowl goes back. What I have? I have a plate with crumbs on it. Out comes the food. There's a hot kugel. Or some hot sweet potatoes, whatever it is. Could I put that hot kugel, piping hot chicken, hot sweet, hot whatever it is, on top of my crumbs? Well, according to the Ramah, of course, since it's in a serving plate already, klisheni, it's not gonna do anything to you. But according to this, mashal, whom we are ma'achmir for, that halacha does recognize as a chumra, it should be a problem because this is gonna cook, it's going to, in a sense, bake my crumbs. Once again, we're gonna be makel in this case. Why? Because we have a chumra of the davar gush itself is only chumra, and now what we're worried about cooking after something was already previously baked is itself a machlokas or a chumra. And again, when you have a chumra with a chumra, we're not going to marry them together. We're not going to be machmir just, you know, for the sake of being machmir. It's already based on two chumras. We could be makel, and therefore it is permitted lahalacha to place your hot food item on top of your plate of crumbs in front of you on the Shabbos meal. We finished the three main categories of exceptions. Basically, whenever something is itself a machlokas, we're not going to be machmir when it comes to cooking it with a davar gush. Let's talk about a duck-billed platypus. Everyone knows what a duck-billed platypus is? Right, it's a half mammal, half what? Half mammal, half, help me. Half mammal, half, not reptile.
Avian.
What?
Avian?
Avian, no, I'm not sure. What? Is it half mammal, half bird? What? Amphibian? No, it's not an amphibian. Okay, so you look it up when you get home. Duck-billed platypus is a half something and a half something. And we're not sure which status it is. So my duck-billed platypus in Hilchos Bishul is what happens if I have a solid, but it's really a liquid. We're not going to get to mashed potatoes for another 2 minutes. What's something that's a solid, but it's sort of a liquid? A hot potato in the challenge. So here, let's figure out what's the status of my hot potato. On one hand, the potato is not touching, does not take the shape of its container, is not touching the walls, no heat diffusion from the wall of the potato to the walls. On the other hand, it's part of a liquid, and it's definitely affected by the heat of the liquid, and the liquid that it's in is taking the shape of its container and is diffusing its heat to the walls. So are we going to consider this hot potato like a davar gush or like a liquid? And we know once the liquids that give off the heat to the walls of the container are not mevasha. So here, believe it or not, this question is not talked about in Hilchos Shabbos. I'll tell you where it is talked about. We know that there's a lot of interaction and interplay between the halachas of Bishul and the halachas of Kashrus. And that's because, in terms of Hilchos Kashrus, flavors from something that's not kosher to yes kosher, or flavors from meat to milk, are transferred only in the presence of heat. Except when you have something very very sharp, or like an onion or a radish. But other than that, they're only transferred primarily through heat. And therefore, if something is considered Bishul in the laws of transferring heat to make something treif, so that would also perhaps be significant for the halachas of Bishul b'Shabbos. So picture the following scenario. You have a kosher potato that you placed in a klisheni, in a klishlishi, and in a treif pot. A treif pot, but it's piping hot. So did it absorb the treif flavor from that pot or not? That's the question. That's the question that's not talked about in Hilchos Shabbos, but it's talked about in Yoredeya, the other chelik of Shulchan Aruch, where it talks about the halachas of kashrus. And there, the halacha is going to be the same machlokas that we have here. The Ramah himself says once it's in a kli shlishi, it's not considered hot anymore. Halachically, it's not really hot. It feels hot, it tastes hot, but halachically, it's not hot. It's a kli shlishi. And therefore, it's not going to pull out any of the treif flavor from this treif pot. But the Marshal, who we're being mocked for, and actually he said his words really not by Shabbos, but over there by Hilchos Kashrus and the Shulchan Aruch of Yoredeya, the Marshal will say that that hot potato is still hot. I don't care how many kalim it's in, it retains its heat because it doesn't diffuse to the walls, and therefore will absorb the treif flavor from this kli shlishi kli revi. So there, in that context, the halacha is discussed. What happens if you have, let's say, chalent? Poured from chalent pot, kosher chalent pot, to kli sheni, kli shlishi, and that is poured into a kli revi, a kli shlishi, a kli revi, that's not a kosher pot. Will it absorb the flavor? So there, the Pischei Tshuva, one of the commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, writes that since, even if we want to be machmir for a hot solid, but if that hot solid is surrounded by a liquid, then that liquid will allow the heat diffusion to take place and will, of course, impact on the solid that's inside of it. And therefore, we will not be worried about a solid retaining its heat if it's in a sauce. That's going to be both by this chalent that was put in a non-kosher pot, this chalent that's a kli shlishi chalent and not kosher pot. The sauce already is cooled off, and therefore even the potato inside that chalent will not absorb the flavor from that treif pot. And transposing that halacha back to us in Hilchos Shabbos, if I have a potato from the chalent, then, listen very carefully, I have it in the chalent pot. It's now in a serving dish. Now I put it on my plate, it's already, the liquid, as far as the liquid's concerned, it definitely does not have the capacity to cook. It doesn't have the capacity to cook my coleslaw, it doesn't have the capacity to cook the water on my son's wet plate, it doesn't have the capacity to cook anything else, you know, certainly not the salt and anything else. So therefore, I will be allowed to put chalent with potato in it onto a wet plate if the chalent is no longer, is already, you know, taken out of the cliche, you know, taken out of the serving dish. I will be allowed to put the chalent with the potatoes and the beans, of course, in it, and the chunks of meat in it onto a plate that's wet. Why? Because since the hot solids are surrounded by liquids, it will have a lack of a liquid because there will be the heat trend, heat diffusion, and therefore those solids will not be as hot. Now, if it's a big chunk, a really big potato, a really big piece of potato, I'm not sure. On one hand, the post can say, oh, if it's in a liquid, there's a heat diffusion. But, I mean, we all have had our, you know, the top of our mouths burn to a crisp, but we took a bite out of a really, really hot potato from the chalent. So if it's a really big piece of potato, I'm just not sure. We'll look into that. Yes?
Is this something you find for chalent that's really liquidy?
Excellent question. How liquidy is liquidy? I think the definition of liquidy here will be the same definition that your high school chemistry teacher told you is the definition of a liquid. And that is, a liquid is something that is defined as taking the shape of its container. If it's something that will spread out such that it will take the shape of its container, that means it's going to diffuse its heat among the wall, the bottom and the walls, and there will be the heat transfer will happen, and that will be considered a liquid. Excellent point. The one thing that I want to leave as a question or as a something to think about is sort of what you were heading towards and what you were heading towards. What about rice? Let's think about rice. Is rice a solid or a liquid? Of course it's a solid. Does rice take the shape of its container? No. Right? I sprinkle rice and it just stays wherever it lands. It doesn't, you know, zoom, you know, spread out and just, you know, swim to wherever the edges of the plate or the bowl are. On the other hand, does rice retain heat? It's so small that it doesn't have any, like, the inside of a potato, so the potato retains the heat on the inner core of the potato, or the inner core of that potato kugel is going to be hot, even if the outside layer is, you know, maybe touching a cold plate, but the inner part remains, you know, its pristine heatness. But rice doesn't really retain any heat, but it's a solid. So how are we going to look at rice? So here apparently it's a machlokas. On one hand you could say, I'll just present the two sides of the argument. On one hand you could say it scatters all over, and it doesn't have that exterior wall to hold the heat in. So maybe it's like a liquid. It also doesn't have that exterior wall to hold heat in. On the other hand, it doesn't really touch those walls and diffuse its heat to the walls because it doesn't touch the walls, it just stays where it is. So maybe it would be like a davar gush. It would be like a potato that just stands still and can't diffuse its heat out to the walls. So that's a question to think about. The question would depend on, can I put my hot rice, or can I put a salad on my hot rice? Some people like, you know, salad's too liquidy, maybe it's too salty, and you want to, you know, make it a little bit, or sometimes the rice is too dry, you want to make it a little bit liquidy, so you know, mix it with some salad or something, some coleslaw. So that this question would depend on that. Seems to be a machlokas. This is the conclusion of the topic of davar gush. Any questions about davar gush? Okay. So in the few minutes that remain, let's talk. So we talked so far, we talked about a kli rishon, talked about a kli sheni, talked about pouring from a kli rishon and a kli sheni, I think. We talked about a kli shlishi, what's left before, and we talked about davar gush, which is like its own sort of super kli. It goes beyond the halachas of a kli rishon, sheni, shlishi. There's one thing left before we end this whole entire segment about levels of cooking, levels of heat. And that is, what's the status of a ladle? What's the status of a ladle? Meaning, I have a pot of soup. And unless you're Esav and you just drink straight from the pot, so we usually serve our soup with a ladle. I put it from our ladle into our bowls. What is the status of our bowls? Do we say, well, the soup was the soup in the pot that I cooked it is the kli rishon. The ladle that I took it out of the pot is a kli sheni. By the time it gets to my soup bowl that's served in front of me on the Shabbos table, it's already a kli shlishi. Once it's a kli shlishi, I could put whatever I want in it. I could put pepper in it. What do you mean? Isn't pepper something that's delicate? That might get cooked in a kli sheni? Yeah, but a kli shlishi, you can put whatever you want in a kli shlishi, basically. Except something that we know, we saw there was machlokis about tea, if you could put a tea bag in a kli shlishi. But normal things, we could put in a kli shlishi. So will this soup in front of me on my bowl be a kli shlishi? Or do we say, no, the ladle, that wasn't a real step. It went from the soup, you just had to get it from the soup pot into your soup bowl, and like you have to get it there, so use the ladle to get it there. But it's not that ladle actually counts as an intermediary kli. So what is going to be the status of a ladle? But to understand this question, we're really going to have to, again, not talk about Shabbos, go to Hilchos Kashrus. Hilchos Kashrus, we're not going to talk about right now, you know, I put some food into a non-kosher plate or non-kosher pot. Let's talk about kashering. Let's say I have an item that I have an item that needs hagala. I mixed my meatballs with a milchka spoon. Okay, so now I have a treif spoon. Without getting into the details of how you have a treif spoon, I mixed my meatballs with a milchka spoon that I used this morning for hot cheese. I have a real meat and milky spoon. It's treif. What do? I have to do hagala. I have to put it in a kasher by putting it in boiling water. Okay, so that's easy. I boil up a pot of water till the bubbles are rapidly bubbling. I drop in my treif spoon. I leave it there long enough so that I could get hot from the bubbling water, from the hot water. 15 seconds, 20 seconds. I take it out, but the Shulchan Aruch suggests that I rinse it off, and now I have myself a kosher spoon once again, a pair of kosher spoon, after I kashered it. Let's say it's not a spoon that got treif. Let's say it's a large, I don't know, what kind of big thing in the kitchen could get treif? That's big, that you can't just fit it in a pot. What? Let's say pot has, okay, let's say the outside of a pot. Let's say I have my, let's say the outside of my pot, I have a pot that I always cook my my noodles and cheese in, I make my fettuccine alfredo in it, and I melt my butter, and I put in my cheese, and I put my milk, make a really delicious, creamy, saucy fettuccine alfredo, and then that was for lunch, and then for supper, somebody else in the kitchen was, you know, cooking up the chili or the stew, and a little splash of meat goes to that pot and gets absorbed into the walls of the pot. So now I have a treif pot. So how do I kasher a pot that can't treif from the outside of it? So I put it in boiling water, that's great. But I don't have it's my biggest pot, my fettuccine pot is my biggest pot. I can't fit it into another pot. So how am I going to kasher it? Oh, I have an idea. Could I, and listen carefully because this is going to be the main point, could I boil up a pot of water and then take a ladle and pour it onto that pot that I fatrafed? Meaning, does water that's taken with a ladle, is it considered like the boiling water itself in the klirish and the pot that's boiling? Or is it only a klisheni now that it's in the ladle? Again, it's nothing to do with Shabbos yet. This all has to do with kashrus, with halachas of kashrus and kelim. Can I take that ladle, which is now maybe it's considered klisheni? Well, if it's a klisheni, I definitely can use it to do hagalah. Now, why do we have to be aware of this aspect that has nothing to do with hilchas kashrus, nothing to do with hilchas bishul on Shabbos, but it has to do with hilchas kashrus? Because, and listen so carefully, you can't just be machmir. Because whatever you're going to decide a ladle is, let's say you decide a ladle is a kli rishon. We're going to be machmir. In Hilchos Shabbos, we're going to be machmir. We're going to consider a ladle. We're going to say, oh my gosh, it's so hot. It's like a kli rishon. It cooks. Well, if you're going to be machmir on Hilchos Shabbos, say, oh, a ladle is like a kli rishon. It's going to cook everything. Well, when you want to use it to kasher kelim, that's going to be a kula. Because they say you don't just have to put your tray fettuccine alfredo pot into a pot of boiling water. You could take a ladle and pour water on it because you're calling the ladle a kli rishon. And a kli rishon could do hagala, could kasher the hot water from a kli rishon, could kasher. So it's going to be a kula for hagala. Let's take the inverse. Let's say, okay, we're going to be machmir and say that this ladle is a kli sheni, and therefore don't use it to take water to kasher your other pots, because it's only kli sheni, it's not hot enough to kasher pots. So you're going to be machmir. Well, by calling it a kli sheni, when you move over to Hilchos Shabbos, that's being mako. You say it doesn't have so much heat to cook anymore. It's going to be more lenient. So we have to figure out, is it a kli rishon? If it's going to be a kli rishon, it's going to be chomer for one and kal for the other. If it's a kli sheni, it's going to be kal for one and chomer for the other. We have to decide which one it is. So which one is it? What do you think? Is it a little kli rishon or kli sheni? Depends what it's made out of. What do you mean by that?
Metal refuses to be
like metal. Let's assume that's talking about metal. Ah, you know too much. So the answer is that it's machlokas, of course. So machlokas, whether or not this ladle is going to be have a lach of a kli rishon or a kli sheni, we'll get to what you mentioned in a moment. What are the reasons to consider this ladle either a kli rishon or a kli sheni? Well, kli sheni is obvious. Why? Because it's not the thing where the stuff cooked. You have water cooking, water boiling. Now you take the water out of that. Once the water is taken out of that, that water is not where it was cooking. So that's a klisheni, isn't it? So listen to some very strong arguments that the Taz in Yoredeya and Hilchas Kashas in Tzadi Beis argues to say that no, maybe it should be a kli rishon. Listen to his arguments. We know that the halacha is, let's say you have a kettle boiling on the fire on Shabbos, or a soup pot boiling on the fire on Shabbos, and now you take it off the fire and put it on the counter, or put it on, you know, the stovetop where you don't have no flames on, but you move it just to put it somewhere where there's no fire. Is that pot a kli rishon or a kli sheni? That pot is a kli rishon. The pot where the thing boiled is a kli rishon even after it was removed from the fire. Why? Because it was heated up on the fire. So since it was heated up there, it retains its din of a kli rishon even after you take it off. So says the Taz, let's say you have a ladle that you stuck into a pot of soup. Where was it heated up? On the fire. Now that you took it out of the pot of soup. So it's just like a pot of soup that was on a fire and now removed from the fire. So this ladle was warmed up by the soup, meaning on top of the fire. Now it's removed from there. Well, it should still be considered a Kli Rishon. Another argument. The Taz asks, what's the whole reason that Kli Sheni is not doesn't cook? We learned 2 weeks ago that Tosas told us that the walls of a Kli Sheni are cold. And therefore, you put something into a Kli Sheni with cold walls, that cools the food down, it's not going to cook anymore. But that's where because the walls are cold. But when I put a ladle into a soup pot, are the walls of that ladle, are they cold? Absolutely not. They were heated up, just like the whole walls of a Kli Rishon. And that Tosas that we mentioned 2 weeks ago told us that the whole distinction between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni are whether the walls are hot or not. Well, here, where the walls are put into a, where the ladle's put into a soup pot, it is being warmed. It has the quality of hot walls, just like a Kli Rishon. Therefore, it should be a Kli Rishon. So what do? Halach lemaisa, we don't know what to do. And therefore, we try to be machmir, we just don't know what the answer is. It's machlokas, we don't know what the answer is, and we try to be machmir in both areas. So when it comes to kashering things, you can use a ladle to kasher it, because we're worried a ladle might be a Kli Sheni. In terms of, you cannot use a ladle to kasher something, because we want to be machmir, and we're worried maybe this ladle is a Kli Sheni, which does not have the heat ability to kasher something, to purge something. But in Hilchas Bishul, we're going to be machmir and say that a ladle is still has the heat of a Kli Rishon. So we're going to be machmir all around. And this chumra is reflected in the Mishnah Berurah. He paskins different halachas, and you'll see he's always taking the stringent side of the coin because we just don't know what to do with the status of a ladle. So let's finish off with one application of this, which is very, very, very practical, and we'll finish with this. We know that if you have a liquid that was pre-cooked, orange juice, pasteurized milk, pasteurized oranges, pasteurized honey, we don't put it, there's a machlokas whether or not you could heat it up again, machlokas rishon, and we're machmir, we don't put it into a kli rishon. But we said last week you can't put all these things into a kli sheni. Which is why last week we said that if you have a klisheni, not klishlishi, you don't need a klishlishi, you have a klisheni, and you're making your instant coffee in a klisheni, you could pour your pasteurized milk right into that klisheni. You like tea in your, I'm sorry, you like honey in your tea essence, so your tea essence you'll put into the klisheni, cold tea essence you'll pour into your klisheni, you will pour some honey into your klisheni, and you're good to go. What about soup that was cooked once and is now cold? Well, also, if it's cold and you want to put it in a Kli Sheni, that's fine. Because it's just like putting orange juice and milk and honey and all these things that were pre-cooked into a Kli Sheni. That's the background. Now listen to my question. It is so common, and you do it every week. And it's going to be exactly the shah that we're discussing right now. I have a bowl of soup. And I finished most of it, just a little bit left. What do I want to do? I want to fill it up again. Can I take a ladle from the hot pot of soup and pour this boiling hot soup onto my cold soup? Well, what is this ladle? If this ladle is a Kli Rishon, can I pour Kli Rishon water from a Kli Rishon onto cold liquids? Absolutely not. I'm only allowed to put these cold liquids in contact with Kli Sheni liquids. I can't put boiling hot Kli Rishon liquids on top of a cold liquid. But however, if we consider the ladle to be a Kli Sheni already, so we said that I'm allowed to have cold liquids in contact with Kli Shenis. I'm allowed to put my milk into my coffee in a Kli Sheni, my pasteurized milk. I'm allowed to put my pasteurized honey, which is pre-cooked, into a Kli Sheni. So if we consider the ladle to be a Kli Sheni, we're going to finish with this. If we consider the ladle a Kli Sheni, then I should be able to have that Kli Sheni liquid touch my cold, pre-cooked liquid, meaning the cold soup in my bowl. And that is actually how the Mishnah Berurah does paskin. Halach lemaisa, if you have a bowl with some cold soup on the bottom, we will consider the ladle, even though normally we're always machmir, to consider the ladle, whatever is most machmir. Here the Mishnah Berurah is makel and says you can take that ladle, even though it's, you know, we might be machmir not to put anything in it, consider it to be a klirish, not to put anything into the ladle, but to pour the ladle onto a cold liquid, like cold pre-cooked soup, there we will be able to be makel. We will consider that ladle to be a klisheni, and therefore allow it to have the leniencies of klisheni liquid touching pre-cooked cold liquid. So halacha l'maisa, you can pour from a ladle into a bowl of cold soup if the soup is pre-cooked, as it always is. Yes, question. Okay, so that's something that we talked about, I think, 2 weeks ago. Let's say you're making tea, or 3 weeks ago even. Let's say you're making tea. So I don't care if you designate or you didn't designate. That's meaningless. But let's say you have a cup that you are using as your klisheni, and you want to pour it into a cup that has some liquid still on the bottom.
No,
something else. You want to put, you're pouring from an urn into a wet cup. Is that the question?
Yeah.
Okay. So if the water on the bottom of your, you're pouring from an urn into a wet, into a klisheni that's wet. If the water on that, on the bottom of that klisheni has been cooked once before and is still warm, which is often the case if you're doing a lot of cups in succession, the water there is still warm. So the Ramah Sfaradim is asur, but for Ashkenazim, since it's still warm, you're allowed to cook pre-cooked liquids that are still warm. And it's okay to have that Kli Rishon water, the urn water, the kettle water, go directly into that warm water that you have, or warm coffee left over that you have on your bottom of your cup. If the water is already cold, you will not be able to put the hot water directly from the urn pouring directly into that cold water. Okay? Because you're cooking cold water with the power of a Iri of a Kli Rishon, that's a problem. Yes?
So when we talked about the ladle, I thought it was going to somehow go back to the Zohar Kodesh, because some people say that, like, if you use a ladle, depending on the demon status, you can put, like, croutons, challah.
Yeah, that we talked about a few weeks ago, that you are permitted. Yes, once you ladle the soup from the thank you, that should be said, repeated here. Once you take a ladle from the soup pot into your bowl, so since it's a whole machlokas, whether or not the croutons that were cooked once, that were not the osam croutons, which are fried already, deep fried, so that's in bishlach habishul, but let's say like matzah or challah or crackers, that there's a whole machlokas whether or not there's a problem in cooking them, boiling them in the liquid after they've already been baked. And this whole question of the ladle is itself a machlokas. So we have two machlokases, we're going to be mekel. And therefore, one is permitted to take soup with a ladle from their soup pot into a bowl, and we will consider that bowl to be a klishlishi, meaning we'll consider the ladle to be a klisheni, because anyway, the whole question of putting matzo or challah into this bowl is anyway a machlokas. So it's a machlokas with a ladle. Now it's a machlokas whether I could do it, whether cooking matzo is a problem in the first place, we will be mekel. Yes, I should have finished with that. But of course, the poskim, even though when we are mekel, to consider a ladle a little bit cooler, a klisheni, if the ladle is left in the pot, sometimes you serve your soup and you take your ladle out. Sometimes you don't have a plate to put it on, or you don't want to dirty another plate, so you just leave it in the pot. So then the ladle will be considered a kli rishon, because it's staying in the pot, being heated up, the walls of the ladle are being heated up by the pot that it's in, and therefore, when you take it out, you're really just carrying a portable kli rishon. And there you'd have to be machmir, that a ladle would be considered a kli rishon. Yes. Okay, we're going to stop here. And any questions, we'll take now.